Forecast for today, going to be a mixture of clouds and sun. We'll have a high close to the mid-80s. Administration for Racine Unified in a scramble mode to try to figure out a way of keeping the move on with the new science rooms and classroom remodeling at Horlick High School. This after the bids received were over the budgeted estimate by well over $1 million. Chief Operations Officer David Hazen telling the Board of Education they plan to have a recommended plan of action ready to go the night of next week's study session.
Here's the final cost, and here's how we budgeted to pay for it. Basically, what we're looking at is we'll know more on Friday as far as the health care to see if there is any potential for savings this year. We're not expecting any, but maybe we'll have a pleasant surprise. That could potentially be a source of funding, as well as Mr. Arnold said, looking at some of the projects that are next in line and see how we could find alternative funding or potentially push those out a little bit further so that we can get this done.
Facilities Director Brian Arnold suggesting going out for the bids late and the aggressive schedule worked against the district, and they'll look at what they've got around it. Maybe they can help with these projects.
Some things that we can do to bring the cost down. And then on the district side, we're looking at some, not really alternative funding, but moving some budget around from one project to another and trying to see where we can, and I hate to use this word, but that's what it feels like, scrape together the money that we need to put together to fund this project so we can get it off and complete it on time.
An agenda item to buy the science lab furniture got deferred until at least next week on the motion of Mike Frontier. The Washington Park Velodrome in Kenosha was supposed to have opening night racing this evening, but without the stripes to mark the racing lanes, that would kind of be chaotic for the participants, and if the weather isn't right, well, then you can't paint the stripes. The seal coating is on the track. The park itself is open, but it has to stay at more than 50 degrees for the striping to work, and we haven't exactly had that kind of weather. Plus, you can't have any rain. Kenosha has the oldest working velodrome in the country, now in its 90th year, after having been, of course, rebuilt. The issue of backyard chickens resurfaces in the village of Caledonia, if only briefly last night, during citizens' comments during the board meeting. Heidi Fannin lives on Fence Line Road. She'd argued for allowing chickens in the past. She's back with the belief that a lot of people just really don't care.
I want to teach my children where their food comes from. I want to decrease food miles. I just think it's a great thing. It's a great living life experience. It's not about having thousands of chickens. It's like having six chickens in a backyard. So it's legal in Racine. It's legal in so many areas in our community. So why can't we have it in Caledonia?
Trustee Kevin Wongard, who was chairing the meeting, noted that the issue has been reviewed extensively, and it was the board's decision to maintain the current ordinance.
Just because the city of Racine has them doesn't mean the village of Caledonia should. Mount Pleasant doesn't have them that I know of, an ordinance. Kenosha doesn't have an ordinance, and that's a pretty liberal city that would let you do anything, and they don't even have it. And well, Milwaukee is another, you know, village too. But all I'm saying is that it's been looked at and looked at and looked at.
No action taken by the Caledonia board, though it's likely they have not heard the last of the argument about chickens. A Kenosha judge denies a motion to reduce the bond for the Brantford High School student accused of stabbing another student, causing the other student's death. The attorney for the 17-year-old arguing that as a lifelong resident of Kenosha, that the client is not a flight risk. District Attorney Mike Gravely argued against that, noting the teen faces a significant prison term if convicted. Judge Mary Kay Wagner agreed.
The court does believe that based on the enormity of this offense, the quality of the evidence, and the unpredictable behavior that seems to be throughout the criminal complaint, that the court thinks there is a risk to the community and a risk of flight. So the court is going to deny that bond.
The 17-year-old's preliminary hearing is coming up Thursday. One obituary, 76-year-old Judith Ann Dunk of Racine, passed away on May the 15th after a short but tough battle with cancer. A memorial service coming up Thursday evening at the Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home at 6 p.m. Friends and relatives can meet with the family Thursday at the funeral home beginning at 4 p.m. Again, the service is at 6. Still no final agreement between the city of Kenosha and Gorman & Company to renovate the former Heritage House downtown, but work has started to clear out the building's interior. Passersby of the former Elks Club building, observing workers in protective bodysuits and respiratory masks inside removing debris which could have included mold and asbestos. The Heritage House fell into disrepair over the years, still targeted, though, as a future 80-bed downtown boutique hotel. The eventual contract is going to allow transfer of that city-owned property to Gorman, which got plan commission and other needed approvals. Company expected to spend about $20 million on that project. Gorman and Company, the same firm working with the City of Racine on the Machinery Row project. The new Caledonia Village Hall is within a few weeks now of being ready for occupancy. It meant that last night's Board of Trustees meeting may have been the last in the old, outdated East Side Community Center, village leadership looking to sell it at some point down the road, but a group of seniors maintains they still need a place to meet. One-time board member Larry McCalvey noted that the new building doesn't have a specific room in which they can meet like they do every Wednesday at the ECC.
And I understand that the new facility, there's no room for the old folks. Is that correct? And if that's so, I would like to ask the board what they are going to do about that. And the reason I'm bringing that up is I understand when the Eastside Community Center was given to the village of Caledonia or town of Caledonia, there was a stipulation in the agreement that this be a place for the senior citizens to be.
Administrator Tom Christensen and the back and forth with the seniors explained that improvements made at the Joint Park Building in Franksville, well, that could be the place they could go. He urged them to come take a look at the location, and they can talk about it some more.
And I think most of the concerns that your group has raised are answered there. It's an excellent facility, and I think it would work well for you. What I'd like to do is invite you at a time that we can agree upon to meet there. Let's look at the facility. Let's see if it's adequate or not for you. And we'll do that. And I think you're going to be satisfied. But let's do that. So why don't you get in touch with me and we'll have that meeting.
As for selling the Eastside Community Center, that's still going through the committee process. The ultimate decision up to the full village board. Tonight, the Sturtevant Village Board will meet at 6 o'clock, and among the agenda items to be considered, a resolution by the Finance and Budgetary Committee that would authorize the hiring of a consultant for a space utilization study of the Village Hall, and a resolution by the Administration, Personnel, Policy, and Legal Committee authorizing a collective bargaining agreement with Teamsters Local 200 for this year. Pleasant Prairie Board names Assistant Village Administrator Tom Schursel to be the interim administrator, that until the search process is complete to find the replacement for Mike Polikoff, who's retired. Schursel selected to manage village operations for the next 6 months. A news release indicating the search produced some quality candidates, but, quote, they have not met all of the requirements the village set forth for the position. And in the western Kenosha County village of Twin Lakes, the Lake Protection Rehabilitation District Commission has approved a U.S. Agriculture Department program to remove Canadian geese from along the lakefront permanently. The Kenosha News says the adult geese will be rounded up in late June and July, then euthanized. Meat from those deemed acceptable going to a food pantry, the rest made into animal food. A wildlife specialist for the USDA pitched the program to officials for the Lake District, who supported the $4,500 cost. Affected property owners would have to give their permission. Tonight's Racine Common Council meeting at 7 o'clock will include the last State of the City address from Mayor John Dickert before he resigns in the coming weeks to take over the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative. The agenda for this evening has that speech right after the Pledge of Allegiance. The State of the City in recent times has been a look back on the positives that have occurred with a reference to the challenges but also optimism for the future and the need to work together for growing the city. Because this will be Dickert's final address, there might be some added material about Racine's future, a new mayor, a new administrator, also a dedicated, hardworking staff, and group of city employees. Dickert's resignation date will trigger the process for Council President Dennis Weiser to eventually become the mayor for a time, that until a special election picks the new city leader. A resolution calling for the passage of a bill in Madison to prevent large retailers from reducing property assessments based on the value of the building if it were empty. That was approved by the City Council last night. Called the Black Box Loophole or Dark Store Loophole, many big retailers have successfully reduced their assessments. Opponents say that is putting a disproportionate burden on other homeowners. Anthony Nudos, the Vice President of the Executive Committee for the Wisconsin Realtors Association, says the retailers, like a Menards in Kenosha, for example, they want that property assessed the same as a vacant Walmart store on 52nd Street.
You should just simply look at the box itself. You should look at the structure, not think about any of the contents that are in there. And across Michigan, it started in Michigan, went to Indiana, now it's in Wisconsin. This trend has hit, and some big box stores have successfully reduced their assessments in half.
Acting City Assessor Pete Krestowiak said the trend could mean a big increase in property taxes for local homeowners.
Average house in Kenosha right now, about $132,000. Using 2016 numbers, about $330 a year. You obviously go up in value. Sort of our newer housing stock west of Green Bay, average price around $230. You're almost $600 a year in terms of a year-over-year increase.
That resolution's going to the governor and to local legislators, plus the lawmakers working on bills now to end the loophole. It passed the council unanimously. The Burlington Common Council will meet in Committee of the Whole at 6:30 tonight, ahead of its regular business meeting. Among the agenda items, a resolution to consider Shurer Construction as the project manager for the new community pool at Dever Park for 3% of the total construction cost. The full council will take a final vote on that tonight. A proposed charter ordinance to have both elected and at-large officials scheduled for a June 6th council meeting decision, and a proposal to amend the park regulation ordinance that prohibits the abandonment of any boat or watercraft from city park property. Final action on that also slated for June the 6th. And the Kenosha Police and Fire Commission met this morning at the municipal building with a list of retirements to consider. Among them, Lieutenant James Hiring, effective May 31st, after a distinguished career. Hiring's going to be walking off into retirement, perhaps a little bit slower than his college days at UW Parkside. He was there at the time he placed fourth in the 1976 Olympic trials, competed as a race walker in the 84 Olympic Games at Los Angeles, ending up 23rd in the 20K event, and in the 1988 Seoul Games, where he was 38th in the 20K race walk. Hiring's best 20K event, 1983, finishing sixth at the Pan Am Games in Venezuela. He was also sixth in the 5,000-meter race walking event at the World Indoor Games in Paris. Jim Hiring's in the Parkside Athletic Hall of Fame as the school's first national champion race walker, a career that included three NAIA national titles. Our forecast is coming up. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.